I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. This is a different kind of show. If you've never heard this show before, you may confuse this show for some radical left-wing show. I'm going to dissuade you of that idea. Just a second. You hang on with me here. But I appreciate you joining me. This is a different kind of look at the way the world is run. It's really kind of a glimpse behind the curtain, I like to say. This is not a show about impeachment. It's not a show about political theater. It's not a show about tweets. It's not a show about insults. It's a show about really how the world really works. And we're going to talk about that today. Obviously, big events yesterday. This is a safe space here for independent thinkers out there. I don't know how many of you there are. Judging by comment sections from the news that I've read over the course of last night and into this morning, it's really very difficult to tell. Sight by sight. Not a lot of independent thinkers on Breitbart.com. Not a whole lot of independent thinkers on Daily Caller. More maybe on Daily Caller than Breitbart. You know, we're going to talk about it today. And as I say, hang in there with me. You're going to think you've turned into Nancy Pelosi radio. But you would be wrong. It's Friday. I don't know. Usually on Fridays from 10 to about 10:30. First two segments of the second hour, I do a segment called False Flag Friday. I've been doing this for over a year now, where I've talked about historically how American people and even other countries around the world have been lied into wars, that events have been manufactured, circumstances have been created to lead people to wars that they would never consider entering until they're given an excuse. And that segment of the show on Friday is usually from 10 to 10:30. Today it may kind of bleed into this first hour as we talk about what took place last night. Here's what I wrote on my notes, my show notes. This is yesterday afternoon. I usually start working on the show for today pretty soon after I get off the air the day before. I had False Flag Friday going hot again. They're trying to get you back on the march to new conflicts around the world, North Korea and Iran. A few hours later, the Iranian stuff goes hot. And then we will take a look back. If I can muster the energy to laugh today at the end of the show, we'll take a look back at the week of the lunatic left. Got a couple of kind of humorous clips. But we're going to talk, and the phone lines today, if you want to join in, are 601-879-0002, because it's funny. I've got friends out there kind of joined me, varying degrees. I was a big fan of Ron Paul. Ron Paul, Jesus, 20 years as a Republican. Very conservative guy. They called him Dr. No. If a spending bill came across his desk, he just voted no on the thing. Always voted to cut taxes. Had great ratings from things like Freedom Works and things like that. It's supposedly what a conservative is supposed to be, but he didn't agree with America's expansionist wars all over the place. That was what made him different. I have friends that really got kind of fond of Ron Paul. And so when Barack Obama would do some bombing campaign and start another war in Libya or send troops to Syria or any of this stuff was going on, they'd call me. Can you believe what this guy's doing? Some of those friends are now Trump supporters. My phone was very quiet last night. Some of my more consistent friends, they called me. What do you think about this? What do you think about this attack on the Iranian general? But see, now those that have fallen in love with Donald Trump, this must be a good thing because this is Trump's war. Yes, I'm against all of the wars in the Middle East that Obama launched and that George W. Bush launched that Trump called out during the campaign. But this is Trump's war. This is a good one. This is going to be the good one, Mike. It's going to be easy. It's going to be short. It's about time we took on these Iranians. The reaction to the attack yesterday that killed General Soleimani from Iran is split along party lines, as is being reported today. Of course, Democrats, Donald Trump can't do anything right, so it's a pretty predictable reaction, although Democrats love war, too. They loved Barack Obama's wars because they're all bought and paid for by the same interests. And those are the war profiteers. That's why there is no leftist movement, no leftist anti-war movement to speak of now, because their leadership was bought and sold, bought and paid for by defense contractors, Israel, Saudi Arabia. And so they told their constituents on the left to sit down and shut up that Barack Obama's wars were cool. And Republicans for too long have been convinced that militarism is patriotism. So some people listening to this show will think I'm some kind of a liberal as I go through this first hour, but you're wrong. See, because wars are not conservative, and I don't care how many propaganda tools they trot out to make you think that. Last night, Donald Trump, after this attack, sent out just a tweet with no words in it, just an American flag. Time to rally behind the tweet. We're at war. So I'm going to bring in some allies here to kind of bolster my points, just to show you. You're not listening to Nancy Pelosi's chief of staff here. If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. That was James Madison. Anybody know James Madison? No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. That was James Madison. We're talking founding fathers here. The executive has no right, in any case, to decide the question whether there is or is not cause for declaring war. James Madison. Thomas Jefferson seems to be a bit of a hero of the right, but I would imagine in today's world, he would be a disloyal pacifist like myself. Having seen the people of all other nations bowed down to the earth under the wars and prodigalities of wars, I'm maybe mispronouncing that, I apologize, the prodigalities of their rulers, I have cherished their opposites, peace, economy, and riddance of public debt, believing that these were the high road to public as well as private prosperity and happiness. Thomas Jefferson. Tommy J., the spirit of this country is totally averse to a large military force. Governments constantly choose between telling lies and fighting wars, with the end result always being the same. One will always lead to another. Thomas Jefferson. I abhor war and view it as the greatest scourge of mankind. Thomas Jefferson. Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. Thomas Jefferson. I hope our wisdom will grow with our power and teach us that the less we use our power, the greater it will be. Thomas Jefferson. You don't like Thomas Jefferson? Are you soured on him now? He's a pacifist. He doesn't understand. Overgrown military establishments are under any form of government inauspicious to liberty and are to be regarded as particularly hostile to Republican liberty. George Washington, that pacifist General George Washington. Guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism. George Washington, it is our true policy to steer clear of entangling alliances with any portion of the foreign world. George Washington. Observe good faith and justice towards all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. That crazy hippie pacifist, General George Washington. My first wish is to see the plague of mankind war banished from the earth, George Washington. Benjamin Franklin, there never was a good war or a bad peace. How about Ronald Reagan? Yeah, those pacifist founding fathers don't understand today's world, Mike. Ronald Reagan said, a people free to choose will always choose peace. Here's one from Ronald Reagan. He certainly was no Nostradamus. This is what Ronald Reagan said. The defense policy of the United States is based on a simple premise. The United States does not start fights. We will never be an aggressor. Oh, how quaint, Ronnie. John Bolton and Dick Cheney changed all that, Ronnie. How about Dwight Eisenhower, Republican president, general? I hate war only as a soldier who has lived at Caen, only as one who has seen its brutality, its futility, its stupidity, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Preventive war with an was an invention of Hitler. Frankly, I would not even listen to anyone seriously that came and talked about such a thing. That's direct reference to the statements out of the Pentagon and Mike Pompeo in the last couple of hours. Preventive war. Dwight D. Eisenhower, when people speak to you about a preventive war, you tell them to go and fight it. After my experience, I have come to hate war. And I could go on and on. I've only got 2 hours. When I come back, I'm going to play a clip from another conservative to try to just show you that I'm not so whacked out liberal on here, because I think what we've done is make a horrific mistake. And it was interesting. I was listening to the news broadcast this morning. I heard Andrea Mitchell. She's married to, she's a CBS foreign correspondent. I think their chief foreign correspondent. She's married to Alan Greenspan, the head of the Federal Reserve. Former head of the Federal Reserve. You know, a banker. She couched this whole thing in this attack on the Iranian general, which will lead to other actions. She said it was part of the 40-year Cold War that we're having with Iran, which is interesting to somebody who actually understands history. What she is referencing is the uprising in Iran that took the embassy in 1979. She believes that that is the starting date of the problems with Iran, when they came and the Islamic revolution in Iran took over and they took our embassy and they kept our people hostage. We all remember that if we're of age. That's the date she chooses to mark as the beginning of hostilities with Iran. She leaves out the prior 25 years when the CIA of the United States overthrew the very popular, democratically elected leader Mossadegh of Iran in 1953. I don't know what to say. Countries don't like it. They don't like it when you come and you overthrow their popular president. Why did the CIA go in and overthrow the popular, democratically elected? See, Iran was on the path to be a very Western nation, and really still is in many respects. I wouldn't want to live there. They don't have the freedoms that we have here, for now. But they're a pretty Western country. Why did the CIA overthrow the democratically elected government of Iran in 1953? Now, if you don't know the answer to that, stick around. I'll tell you when we get back. But Andrea Mitchell doesn't want you to focus on that action as the kickoff to what is going on in the hostilities between the United States and Iran. She wants you to focus on Iran landing the first blow in the 1979 uprising, and ignore the fact that the 1979 uprising in Iran was in response to what our own CIA and Operation Ajax did in 1953. And I'll tell you why they did it when we come back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I'm going to continue to try to convince you that this is not some radical leftist show, because I was right there with you. The Republicans convinced me that any military action was to be praised because it showed the power and the might of the United States. You know, after World War II, we really kind of got our footing, didn't we? We had built up this huge armaments industry. The elites realized how much money they could make on wars, on using this armaments industry, so they decided to conquer the world. Now, many Americans are kind of proud about that. We're the world leader. I got to tell you, it's a nice, secure feeling knowing we've got the toughest military on the planet. It's how we use it. Dwight Eisenhower warned about it in his farewell speech. John Kennedy warned about it. We'll see how that worked out for him. But after we came out of World War II and kind of thought, you know what, we're kind of on to something now. Boy, we have really shown something. They started setting up these agencies like the CIA. And in 1953, the CIA did Operation Ajax. This is history. You can go look it up. Operation Ajax was the overthrow of the democratically elected. See, we love democracies in the Middle East, right? Isn't that our goal? We're tired of all these dictators. We want more democracies. We love democracy. Unless it's a democracy we don't like. See, Iran had a democratically elected president in 1953 named, Mohammad Mossadegh. Mossadegh's big crime was not that he was unpopular, not that he was a bloodthirsty Muslim radical. No, Mossadegh came to power and he said, you know, all of this oil that we have here within the boundaries of our sovereign country should belong to the people of Iran. And he kicked out some of the big oil companies, Royal Dutch Shell and Standard Oil, I think, at the time. They weren't very happy with that. Because to them, that was their oil. I think the British had originally gotten the foothold in Iran. So when they went to nationalize their oil, now think about this for a second. Look, I'm a capitalist. I'm not a socialist. But didn't we just elect a president on the idea that we want to be our own country? We don't want to be a part of globalism. We kind of feel like America's a special place. We don't want to just be part of a world, you know, a globalist world. We want to maintain our own identity. Well, this was Iran saying, look, we've got these resources here. We feel like they're being exploited by these other corporations. We're going to take control of the oil. Well, the big oil companies weren't happy with that at all. And so they used our CIA as a mercenary force to go in and overthrow the Iranian government. And I got to tell you, when you go in and you overthrow somebody's government, they don't like it. I don't know how you would feel if China came in and overthrew the Trump government. Maybe you would think that was okay. Maybe you would buy into the Chinese that they're just doing it for the good of humanity, that they were, you know, for whatever reason that they would give. No, you wouldn't like that. Well, Iranians are no different. They didn't like it. And what we did in 1953 is we overthrew the popular democratically elected president. We put in the Shah of Iran, our strongman. And the oil started flowing back to the big corporations who got their way. And the Shah was a strongman in that country, and he kept his people down. And when you abuse your people, they look for anybody who will fight back against the abusers. And what they found was the loving arms of more radical Muslims, the Ayatollahs, the mullahs. And after years and years of abuse at the hands of the U.S. puppet there, the people rose up and overthrew the Shah. That's when it started, Andrea Mitchell, not 40 years ago. The embassy attack in 1979 was not the beginning. 1953 was the beginning. But Americans, that's a very inconvenient fact for the narrative that Iran is bad. I'm also not any Iran lover. Don't want to live there. Wouldn't want to live with the mullahs, but they are certainly not the way they have been portrayed across the board. And many of you will have exception to that. Anyway, you've not turned into some radical leftist show. I'm sure Fox and Friends this morning got you all testosterone, got you all excited about this action. We're really taking it to the fight. Well, luckily, there's one bright spot on Fox News. For 1 hour a day, there's a sane voice on that station.
We have an unexpected Fox News alert for you, something that has just happened in Iraq. The situation there heating up very quickly without any debate here in Washington. Iraqi television has just confirmed that Qasem Soleimani, a former general in Iran's Revolutionary Guard and a commander of the Quds Force, has been killed in a rocket attack, apparently initiated by the United States, near the Baghdad airport, along with a top official in the Iraqi Shiite militia. Now, what were they doing in Iraq? Unclear. But his death comes several days after tensions kind of came out into the open in that country. Last week, if you've been following this, you know, an American civilian contractor was killed by militants in Iraq. The U.S. government blamed that attack on Iran and it retaliated with strikes. In response, protesters blockaded the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. It's basically where we were when the show started tonight. Defense Secretary Mark Esper warned that the United States is prepared to launch additional preemptive military strikes against Iranian interests in the region, which apparently are what we are seeing right now. Now, again, there's been virtually...
That's Mark Esper, the former top lobbyist for Raytheon. I just always want to give the guy some credit. He's accomplished so much, and they don't give him credit. He's chief of the Pentagon right now, but he was the top lobbyist for Raytheon, one of the world's largest defense contractors that makes a ton of money on war. Just in this, I just want to make sure he gets proper credit.
There's no debate or even discussion about this, but America appears to be lumbering toward a new Middle East war. And we have to say it's one that official Washington has wanted for decades. For example, disgraced National Security Advisor John Bolton has made it his life's mission to start a war with Iran. And tonight, Bolton may be finally getting his wish. Should you be happy about that? That's the question. Well, the last time we took John Bolton's advice in the region, Iran became far more powerful than it was before we took John Bolton's advice. Why? Because things are never quite as simple as they claim they are in Washington. In this case, the very people demanding action against Iran tonight, the ones telling you the Persian menace is the greatest threat we face, are the very same ones demanding that you ignore the invasion of America now in progress from the south. The millions, the tens of millions of foreign nationals living among us illegally, the torrent, more significantly, of Mexican narcotics that has killed and disabled entire generations of Americans. Nobody cares, in case you haven't noticed. Pay no attention to all of that, these very same people tell us. The real threat is Iran. Well, they're liars, and they don't care about you. They don't care about your kids. They're reckless and incompetent. And you should keep all of that in mind as war with Iran looms closer tonight.
And I believe that Americans, by and large, knew this during the election of Donald Trump. But what I'm seeing now, what I'm reading now, is because Trump ordered this attack, that it's good. Pay no attention to the people that have been pushing this. The proponents of this, the John McCains, the Lindsey Grahams, the John Boltons, the neocon warmongers that Republicans turned their back on for a while, now they're getting their way. But because Trump put his stamp of approval on this thing, it's okay. It must be a good thing. I'm going to let Tucker Carlson finish. He has a writer on in just a second. He does an interview with somebody from The American Conservative. Because for those of you who've been led to believe that somehow support for the troops means support for every action, that's not rooted in any level of conservatism. Not even talking about the massive debt that these things take on. There's nothing conservative about endless wars. You may get a surge of pride of knowing that our military can murder anybody around the planet at a moment's notice. It's impressive. I'll give it to you. But it's not good and it's not conservative. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm not a tall guy. I may be 5'9 and a good pair of shoes. One thing I always wonder is, what is it like to be, I've been watching football over the holidays. I see these guys that are, you know, 6'7", 6'6", these tight ends, 6'6", 280. I'd like to just spend a day walking around in that body just to see how different the world looks. Must be kind of interesting. Well, so let me give you, if you want to know what it's like to be me, to see the world through my eyes as an independent thinker, somebody who is not hyper-partisan, because I can't stand any of the political leadership in Washington, D.C. on either side of the aisle, because after all, these are the two parties that have given us what we've got right now that apparently we're not real satisfied with, or we wouldn't have elected Donald Trump. So let me tell you what it looks like through my eyes. You know what I see that I think is so interesting? If Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, and was in the middle of an impeachment battle and this attack was done, conservatives and Republicans would be in the streets. Wag the dog. Now, I don't think Trump's doing this for some impeachment ploy, because the impeachment's working out pretty well for him. He's raising a ton of money. It's not hurting him. He's not going to be removed. But I also know, through the hyperpartisan mind, that if Hillary Clinton had done exactly what Donald Trump and his administration did last night in this attack on the Iranian general, conservatives would say, Hillary Clinton's wagging the dog, just like Bill Clinton did. See, I have some precedent for this. If you remember when Bill Clinton was being impeached in the 1990s and he attacked the Sudanese aspirin factory. Yeah, I lived through that. And I saw through it then, and I realized Bill Clinton was willing to use our military to distract us from his domestic problems. Now, I don't think that's really what Trump's doing. I think Trump has just surrounded himself with disgusting war whores, and they have tricked him. And I'm going to tell you in a little while, for those of you out there cheering this, because it's Trump's war, and so it's okay. Let me tell you, the warmongers don't like Donald Trump. And that's one of the things I like about him. I think he's got great instincts. They'd be much better suited to have one of the establishment types. So what they're going to do is they are going to be the group that takes down Donald Trump. His own inner circle, the warmongers, the Mike Pompeos, the John Boltons, the Lindsey Grahams, they are going to take Donald Trump down. And I think this is how they're going to do it. They go in and they convince Donald Trump, hey, you got to do something, sir. We're going to look weak if you don't act. And they are going to get him bogged down in another Middle Eastern war that is going to cost him the presidency. So cheer it today if you want to, because you want to support Donald Trump as commander in chief. But if he keeps going down this path and if this thing worsens, it will be the death of his presidency. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah. In your last section, right before you signed off, you said troops can go anywhere in the world and murder people. Did you mean that?
Yes. No. I didn't say troops. I said the United States. Like yesterday.
Well, I mean, you can't kill somebody unless you're shooting somebody or dropping a bomb on them. So by your definition, our two sons in the world are murderers.
Well, I can see. I don't.
You need to watch your terminology.
Well, this was an assassination. This was an assassination of a foreign leader that is not the way the United States should operate. This Iranian situation is created by the United States, is fostered by the United States. Is Iran a great place? No. But they haven't done anything to us. Now, the idea is the Soleimani, he's behind the death of 600 American troops. The problem is, it's not Soleimani who put our troops in Iraq for the past 15 years. It's these warmongers who put us on the doorstep of Iran. It's our warmongers in these administrations, Bush and Obama administrations, that got us into a situation that made Iran have more influence in Iraq. This is a U.S. foreign policy created disaster.
Well, I have no problem with your theories and your understanding of what's taking place, but I think you need to watch your terminology, because you say our troops are, and that's the only way you can interpret that, can go anywhere in the world and murder people.
You're probably right about that. I take your point, and I think you're exactly right. Assassinate probably would have been a better term, because that's the official term that's being used right now, that we assassinated him. Now, the justification of it is, you know, he was plotting more attacks and these kinds of things. That's up for debate or whatever. I think you're correct. I think you are absolutely correct, and I apologize, because that's not what I meant to say. I am very angry about this.
I understand that, and I agree with a lot of the things that that you had to say. But there's one error across the board in relationship to all what we see going on now, and for wars and things like that. We don't fight wars anymore. I'm of the opinion the last war we fought was World War One, not World War Two, because there were some surrenders that were not unconditional in World War Two. When you fight a war, you define your enemy, you define your cause, you define your enemy, and then very tragically, I mean, I'm not for killing anybody, and very tragically, you wreak enough havoc on those people that they unconditionally surrender, and they are crippled to the point where they cannot inflict damage on you the way whoever's perceiving it. We have very flawed leaders, in my opinion, in both parties, and I agree with a lot of the things you had to say.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I think is the difference now is that, and I was talking to a friend about this last night, the goal is not the victory for these people. For the people that profit off of these conflicts, the goal is not the victory. The goal is the conflict itself. The money is made in the action, and then in the rebuilding, and then in the next action, and the rebuilding. You know, the oil that's in play, the these kinds of things. The conflict is where the money is. So I think you're right. You know, these are not wars with declared enemies, with clear, concise things where we declare victory and come home. That's why we're in 18 years in Afghanistan. That's why we're 50 or 16 years in Iraq. The goal is the ongoing conflict. That's where the money, you got to keep the money keep flowing. A short, decisive war, not near as good for profit. So anyway, hey, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it, and I think you made a good point, and I'm glad you called me out on it. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with the rest of this Tucker Carlson clip, because he talks to somebody again from the American Conservative. There's a lot of people out there. And here's the other thing, too. We really want every conflict to be between one good guy and one bad guy, because that makes that such an orderly world for all of us. The problem is there are not good and bad people in these things. If you ask me, now, I'm a libertarian. I don't like people ruling over other people anywhere. I'm not a fan of just about any government on the planet. This does not make me insane. It's just governments are corrupt. I'm not breaking any news here. So when one corrupt government acts against another corrupt government, the government of Iran is corrupt. The government of the United States is corrupt. Government of England is corrupt. Power corrupts these people. I don't know if they're corrupt to start with, or do you get into it, chicken or the egg, different topic. But this idea that we are the white-hatted cowboys, and look, the United States is a great place. And you know, I'm glad the caller said that. He's right. This has nothing to do with supporting the troops or not supporting the troops. I so support the troops. I support keeping them out of harm's way unless the United States is attacked. And when you put yourself into the Middle East, what they're going to tell you all day today and this weekend, and as this escalates, is we had to do something. Soleimani's behind the death of 600, I don't know if it's service members or contractors or whatever, and they want you to ignore the fact that they put those service members in harm's way over there based on a lie of weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein had not done anything to us, and he didn't have weapons of mass destruction. These neocons, at the very least, they made a mistake, but it wasn't a mistake. We know it's not. They put these kids over there on the border of Iran. They put them into harm's way, and then they accept no responsibility for it when they're killed. They use it as justification to go over and get more kids killed. That's how I support the troops, keeping them home, keeping them out of harm's way unless needed. unless we are under attack. I don't care who the president is. I don't care if there's an R or a D behind their name. I don't care if their last name's Obama or Trump. It's wrong, and it's going to be a catastrophe. And I think Donald Trump is getting some bad advice, and I'm telling you right now, these people around him, they don't want him reelected. I don't know if he knows that, but this is one surefire way where he should have a cakewalk back into the White House in 2020 if the economy holds up this year. This would be the one thing that could take him down. And they are leading him to it. We'll come right back again with Tucker Carlson. So you realize you're not listening to Hanoi Jane here on the radio. I'm a small, limited market. I'm with the Founding Fathers, and I'm with Tucker Carlson on this one. It's me and him against the world. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we're going to get into and play the rest of this Tucker Carlson clip. He's interviewing a guy from The American Conservative. They're talking about the strike on the Iranian general yesterday. I just think it's important for people to understand. To be a conservative does not mean you have to support every military action that the neocons undertake. We seem to know that in 2016 when Donald Trump was telling us what a disaster the Middle East was. We seem to be forgetting it now.
Kurt Mills is a senior writer at the American Conservative. He joins us now. So Kurt, this is unfolding even as we speak. Where could it go from here?
Well, like you said, if you liked the Iraq War, Tucker, we're back with the sequel. The Iran War, I would say.
Yeah, this is going to be the Iraq War 3.0. We do military campaigns like Apple does software updates.
The deep concern is, look, a general in the Iranian forces being assassinated is not necessarily something to mourn or begrugge the U.S. getting involved in.
That's
but
right.
The question is, though, is this a Franz Ferdinand moment? Is this a situation where a great power gets involved with a middle-tier power and gets the world into a world war? Iran, I think, is a problem for the U.S. and its allies in the region, but it is not an existential threat like China or Russia. China or Russia, particularly China, would love to see another decade or two of Americans my age dying in the sand for no particular purpose.
Well, that's exactly it. It's not that anyone, I think, in the United States has particular affection for Iran or trusts its government, much less it's the Revolutionary Guard or the Quds forces. Of course not. But it's the intemperance with which the foreign policy establishment in Washington describes the threat that I think makes sensible people nervous, that Iran is the greatest threat we face. I mean, it's so prima facie absurd that it makes you wonder what their actual agenda is.
It's a joke. I mean, I think the real question is, why do we still have troops there? So you see the Baghdad.
Oh, you don't ask that question anymore.
At embassy protests. And to be clear, this is not just an embassy. This is a fortress. It's been a fortress since we took out Saddam in 2003. And American troops there, if we're not going to re-annex the country, are effectively hostages. They're sent there. So the question the president, who I think rightfully ran in 2016 against the Bush legacy, the question is, does he want to reinvade Iraq? I understand there are people in his cabinet that are selling him that Iran is not Iraq. But the fact of the matter is, Iran is quite similar to Iraq. We're talking about Iraq. 16 years later, it's still Iraq. In order to counter Iran, I think the choice is clear. The president should contain Iranian influence in the region, but should avoid a hot war, which we are barreling towards at all costs.
So my sense of it is the president doesn't seek war, and he's wary of it, particularly in an election year. But I think he was elected on the promise that he would avoid wars except when absolutely necessary. But there are a lot of people around him, and certainly in the city of Washington, who've been preparing for this, agitating for it. Bolton's one of many for an awfully long time. And you wonder if it's possible that he might be outmaneuvered by them and that we might find ourselves moving toward war despite what the president wants.
Right. So I think the president of the United States' convictions on this matter are sincere, but I think it's relevant, particularly extremely relevant in matters of war and peace and life and death, who he staffed his administration with. I know Bolton is a bugbear for you, but in some ways, Bolton, because he's so flamboyant and so infamous and notorious, he actually was a bit of a problem for the Iran hawk crusade. More middleweight, more circumspect managers like Robert C. O'Brien, the Bolton's successor, might actually be more effective at Trojan horsing what I think would be a tragedy in the Middle East. Iran is not Iraq. It's twice as big. It'd be twice as bad. We're weaker than we were 16 years ago. If President George W. Bush struggled to win re-election in 2004, if Trump does this, he's cooked.
I think that's right. Kurt Mills, great to see you tonight.
He makes a very interesting point with John Bolton. I thought that was interesting. Is that John Bolton actually served a purpose maybe to keep us, it made war less palatable because John Bolton was so nakedly and obviously a psychopath. So it made it unpopular. By getting rid of John Bolton and putting in this kind of no-name guy, of course he is a John Bolton acolyte, trained under the tutelage of John Bolton, so there was not really a change in philosophy there. It's just you got rid of this obviously insane, twisted old warmonger, and you kind of put in a stealth warmonger that people won't pay attention to, and everybody thinks, myself included, well, at least we got rid of John Bolton. But apparently nothing has changed. I tell you again, and I've had conversations with people in the last couple of days about this. I mean, Iran was on the list in 2001, before the nuclear agreement, before any attacks on a drone over there, before any of these things transpired. Iran was on the list to be toppled back in 2001. I've played the Wesley Clark clip a million times on this show. I may do it again. You can find it yourself if you want to. So I've got the Founding Fathers warning us of this stuff. You've got Dwight Eisenhower warning us of this stuff. You got Ronald Reagan warning us of this kind of stuff. You got Tucker Carlson at least being the one sane voice that's not a warmonger on Fox News telling you that this is not a good thing. I've got a little clip. Does anybody remember Pat Tillman? We don't talk about him much now. Arizona Cardinal, making millions of dollars a year after 9/11, threw away his very lucrative NFL career to join the military and go over and fight for the United States. Do you know what Pat Tillman's journey through that adventure was? We're going to talk about it next hour, because this is another person that I don't think a lot of conservatives would call out for some lack of patriotism. The guy left millions of dollars on the table to go fight for his country, and ultimately he died for his country. And you'll find out what he thought in the end, after he had been involved in the fight, what he thought about these wars. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Appreciate you joining me today. This is a different kind of show than you're typically going to hear on conservative talk radio these days. I'm not beholden to any party. I'm not beholden to any politician. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama, not George W. Bush, not Republicans, not Democrats. Trump has made a big mistake here, I believe. You may disagree with me on that. But the justification for what just happened yesterday with this assassination of the Iranian general is that he was a threat to American troops. And that may be true. It's just, I don't know why we don't back up and say, why have we got American troops surrounding his country? We've put those troops there. Well, I don't want to say we, not me. Well, no, I did. I mean, to anybody who's listening, any active-duty military people out there, I mean, I have some apologies to give. I voted for George W. Bush twice. Second time, I kind of held my nose. But I voted for him and was enthusiastic about the Iraq first, the second Iraq war. I'm getting lost in how many of Iraq wars we've got. Number two, I guess. Well, I supported number one and then number two. And I voted for Constitution Party and Libertarian Party. I was not going to vote for John McCain. I was not going to vote for Mitt Romney. At the time, with my Republican friends, that was very unpopular. And now you see what kind of people John McCain and Mitt Romney were. And now most Republicans are not fans, particularly in this neck of the woods. So I voted Libertarian Party and Constitution Party during those two election cycles. I certainly wasn't going to vote for Barack Obama. And then I voted for Donald Trump. And it looks like I thought I was voting for Donald Trump to keep troops safer. I really did. That was a big part of the reason that I was really attracted to the Trump train. But I may have also have to apologize for that vote as well. And that'll anger some people. But that's all right. You want to call and disagree, 601-879-0002. A statement released late Thursday by the Pentagon said the strike on Soleimani, quote, was aimed at deterring future Iranian attack plans. I'd like to fix that quote for them. That quote should read, the strike was aimed at assuring future Iranian attacks. Because they want this war. The warmongers want this war. We'll listen to Mark Esper here. Again, let's tell you, this is Mark Esper. This is before yesterday. I'm sure you've heard a lot of the clips of Mike Pompeo. And what makes me so sick is that I don't believe Trump wants this. He's being tricked into it, misled into it. He's being told if he doesn't act, he's going to seem weak. This is just my guess. I don't know. Maybe he does want it. I don't know. I don't think he does. I think he's earnest about ending these wars. He's made so many references to it in earnest ways. I believe he's for it, but he's being led to these wars. And I believe these deep staters are attempting to sabotage. They can't get rid of him during impeachment. They'll get rid of him with a new war in Iran. And that may be what the ultimate goal of this thing is. Mike Pompeo wraps himself in the cloak of Trump's name so that he can get away with doing what he's wanted to do for decades now. He's finally got a guy that will bring conservatives around to allowing him to start an Iran war. He's going to wrap himself in Trump's name. And that's what he's been doing for the last several days. This is Mark Esper. He is the defense secretary, former Raytheon lobbyist. And if anybody has any idea, maybe you know Mark Esper. Maybe you know his heart. Because I am just so amazed that this guy left a multi-million dollar a year job as the top lobbyist for Raytheon, the defense contractor, to take a humble civil service job. What is he making, like $185 a year? Maybe $225 a year? He sacrificed millions of dollars in annual salary to become defense chief. It seems like an odd choice for most people, but I guess he's just such a patriot. Here is him talking before last night's attack.
Has been very engaged. The national security team has been on the phone with him or has met with him daily, if not every few hours. He wants to make sure that our forces are well taken care of, that we're capable of accomplishing our mission on the ground. And he's absolutely correct that if anybody challenges us, they will be met with a severe response, a strong response by U.S. forces.
Now, I want you to just think about what they're challenging. I don't know another way to do this. I mean, I am trying to do a little hearts and minds stuff here. Imagine if the Chinese had unilaterally decided that the United States was just no good, absolutely no good. We've got weapons of mass destruction. We need to immediately, whatever their demands are, we need to denuclearize whatever they say about us. Imagine that the Chinese surrounded us on both of our coasts, Atlantic and Pacific. Imagine they cut us off from world trade. That means all of the exporters here in the United States suffered. Jobs lost. Imagine in the United States we couldn't get the medicines we want. We couldn't import the foods that we want. We couldn't import the oil that we need to import. Well, Mike, we're energy sufficient now. Well, just imagine, because this is what's happening to Iran right now at the behest of the warmongers in Washington, D.C. They have isolated Iran. Now, remember, Iran did not attack the United States. Actually, all of the attacks on the United States have been through the Sunni branch of Islam, not the Shia, which Iran is. But just imagine China blockades us, goes around to the UN and everywhere else to turn the entire world against us, shuts down our economy. People are starving, losing jobs. How would you feel about the Chinese? Would you lash out as an American patriot? I saw the movie Wolverines. I saw what happened when the Russians landed in Kansas. I think that was that in Kansas, Wolverines? A bunch of high school kids. You remember that movie? I love that movie. Very patriotic. I love the idea of anybody who comes over here and dares to mess with us will reap the whirlwind. And I would imagine you, as a patriot out there, particularly you men out there, probably thought about these kinds of things. Imagine the Chinese blockading us. Imagine they set up a giant embassy in Canada where they launched their military from. They were launching military flyovers of us from Mexico, from Canada, choking off our economy. How would you feel about the Chinese? I mean, I think you have to have that point of context. I'm not carrying water for Iran, I'm telling you. If I were an Iranian, I wouldn't be happy with the Americans.
I'm going to telegraph what we're going to do, but people know that we have vast capability to do any number of things. We will act in response to actions by Iran or its...
And here it comes, in response to things that Iran does, or...
proxies, and we will act to preempt any attacks on our forces, our personnel.
So this is the trust us, something bad was about to happen, we had no choice but to go do this. Do we still believe this? Do we still believe the people that got it wrong? I mean, this is False Flag Friday. This is the segment I do every Friday. I've laid out every time that we've been lied to getting into wars. Do we believe it this time, though? Gulf of Tonkin, not real. USS Liberty, look it up. Catastrophe. Just an absolute, just a crazy event. Tried to drag us into a war. That one was unsuccessful. Operation Northwoods, look it up. Weapons of mass destruction, look it up. Bashar al-Assad gassed his own people. We've got to stay in Syria and re-engage. Didn't happen. But we believe them now. Oh, they were imminent plans. They wouldn't tell us. I mean, they could even be telling the truth now and we wouldn't know. I don't know. Maybe they were planning something. But I certainly don't take that as just a given. These people have lied us into war so many times.
By Iran or its proxy. We will continue to reinforce our presence from a military perspective in the region.
More troops into the Middle East.
To protect our personnel, to whether they are diplomats or American citizens or military personnel. We will ensure the readiness of our forces, again, throughout the region to either respond or preempt any type of attacks on U.S. forces. At the same time, I know Secretary Pompeo is working aggressively to talk to our allies and partners, whether they are in the immediate region or beyond, to build political support for what we're doing. And again, I would call on the international community to say, you know, it's time. Finally, for Iran to start behaving like a normal country.
Right.
Well, they're deploying to the region. I won't give specific locations, but their immediate mission will be prepared to reinforce our sites in Iraq first, but then more broadly as need be to make sure, again, we have sufficient force protection on the ground.
Iraq War 3.0. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I thought my vote counted in 2016, that we were going to change something. We're going into the third round of a war in Iraq, proxy war or a hot war, actually, with Iran. The story of Pat Tillman when we come back. Pat Tillman, American patriot. Guy had a multi-million-dollar contract with the Arizona Cardinals, living the dream. And I want to talk about, when you look at what, you know, what we want to think about as our prototype soldier, have you seen this guy If you don't know who I'm talking about, go do an internet search of Pat Tillman and take a look at this guy. You could cut cheese with his jaw. I mean, this guy is one tough-looking guy. And I want you to hear a little bit about a story that most Americans don't know. Pat Tillman was killed serving his country after leaving the Arizona Cardinals and foregoing millions and millions of dollars and living the dream. The guy's a professional athlete. The whole world is your oyster at that point. And he gave it all away to go fight. Ultimately, he paid with his life. And the warmongers and the war propagandists tried to turn him into a rallying cry for other young men to go join because look what happened. You know, they hoisted him up. His parents said, not so fast. Don't use our son. Don't use our son as the rallying cry for these wars in the Middle East. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Pat Tillman stuff. Again, I mean, I'm spending kind of my whole show trying to say, look, you haven't tuned in to some crazy left-wing radical here. War is not conservative. And it seems like we knew that in 2016. I'm just trying to remind people of it in 2020. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
This morning, in kind of an explanation or justification for the attacks on the Iranian general last night, Mike Pompeo tweeted out pictures of some, I think they were Iraqis, celebrating the death of the Soleimani guy. I love that. You know, it drives me crazy when they keep using the same. So I guess next we'll be told that if we just invade Iran and take them over, we'll be greeted as liberators. Do you remember this? Do you remember this from 2002, 2003? Everybody's on our side. What do you think would happen if you took a video camera into some of the left-wing cities in this country if they toppled the Trump regime? You think there'd be people out celebrating? I'm sure there are people very happy that this Iranian guy was taken down. I'm sure you can find footage of him somewhere. But you got a whole nation in Iran. Not all of them. Some of them might have really hated the guy. You know, we'll talk about the consequences of this, you know, to us. You know, I started this show off by trying to give some historical context since Andrea Mitchell on NBC won't. She calls it a 40-year Cold War with Iran and ignores the prior 25 years when the U.S. overthrew the government, the democratically elected government of Iran. She doesn't include that, but I do. And I was looking at that stuff and there's a level of insanity to that. The idea that now people will be happy with us, greeted as liberators once again. That's what we're being sold. For those of you who want to know, you know, well, here's what I started to say. I lost my train of thought there for a second. They overthrew the government in Iran. Did you benefit from it? No. Was Iran a threat to the United States in 1953? No. You know who benefited from it? The oil companies. The oil companies who had been kicked out when Iran nationalized their resources and took them for themselves. The BPs, the Standard Oils, the whatever other countries got back into Iran and got to take the oil again after we overthrew the government. See, they always benefit from these things. You and me, not so much. How about this? The Dow down 237 today. And oil is up over 3.5% today. This is before any hot war. Nothing's happened. They haven't done anything to the Strait of Hormuz. Just one attack yesterday. Enjoy your new gas prices. I do have a good idea. I try to contribute. I try to contribute when I can. When they sell this war to people, when people finally go along with this, and we have a war with Iran, and we suddenly see 5 here in central Mississippi, $5, $6 gasoline in the big states. That'll be $10, $11 a gallon. What they should do is they should come out and call it Patriot Pump Prices. You know, I like my alliteration, Mike Madison, False Flag Friday. Patriot Pump Prices. You should swell and puff up your chest with patriotism when you pay $5 or $6 a gallon at the pump. I think that's a great marketing strategy, and I may be prescient on that. Kind of like Freedom Fries. We'll have Patriot Pump Prices. Pat Tillman, really your quintessential tough guy. The guy you want to talk about, a patriot. That's Pat Tillman. I was fascinated with the story when he died, when I first really came to know it. Pat Tillman, again, if you haven't looked him up, go take a look at the picture of this guy. Good. The guy scares me. You know, I think I've got enough testosterone. I'm a normal functioning guy. I would wither in this guy's glare. He is tough looking dude. Gave up a multi-million dollar contract playing with the Arizona Cardinals to join the military after 9/11 to go out and take control, get in the game, defend the United States. This is a little story about Pat Tillman that most people don't know because this is inconvenient to the neocons who want to make sure that your patriotism is always with them every time a bomb drops.
Pat Tillman was the poster boy for the U.S. war in Iraq. President Bush praised him in life as a hero when the young American football player walked away from a multi-million dollar contract to serve in Iraq after the 9/11 attacks, and an even greater hero in death when Tillman was killed in Afghanistan 2 years later. Until it came out that the Pentagon had lied to cover up that his death was from friendly fire. What Bush did not know was that Tillman regarded him as a cowboy who had led the country into an illegal and unjust war in Iraq. According to a newly published biography called Where Men Win Glory, The Odyssey of Pat Tillman by John Krakauer, Tillman was far from being an unquestioning and loyal soldier after he and his brother Kevin signed up. The book describes the brothers as growing increasingly disillusioned with the Iraq War, quote, which struck them as an imperial folly that was doing long-term damage to U.S. interests. The Tillman brothers lamented how easy it had been for Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld to bully Secretary of State Colin Powell, both houses of Congress and the vast majority of the American people, into endorsing the invasion of Iraq. The book contains excerpts from Tillman's diary, in which the former NFL star writes a scathing analysis of the U.S. operation to free famed POW private Jessica Lynch. Tillman had been assigned to the unit that carried out the mission that involved about 1,000 troops. 2 days before the operation, Tillman wrote, quote, "This mission will be a POW rescue, a woman named Jessica Lynch. As awful as I feel for the fear she must face and admire the courage I'm sure she's showing, I do believe this is a big public relations stunt. Do not mistake me, I wish everyone in trouble to be rescued, but sending this many folks in for a single low-ranking soldier screams of a media blitz." Tillman was correct. The military falsely portrayed Lynch as in imminent moral danger when Iraqi doctors had taken good care of her and already tried to turn her over to U.S. forces.
Yeah, Pat Tillman got in the fight. I mean, you know, when you talk about a patriot, and really, I don't know how many people out there who support the Trump administration's actions yesterday are flocking into the recruitment offices today in case this thing goes really hot and we need some more bodies over there. I would imagine very few people serve. I didn't serve. I was too concerned with partying and chasing girls, drinking beer. Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, John Bolton, they're not over there right now. They didn't grab themselves a weapon and head over to guard the embassy, did they? No, they went on to the major networks and, you know, they got into their limousines, they sat in the back, they got delivered to some studio where they went in to make, or they went to some conference where they extolled the virtues of yet another war, because these people don't fight the wars. They send the middle class and the poor kids to fight the wars, and they reap the profits. You know, this is just such a long-running scam, wars themselves, but I don't know how many. You could read Smedley Butler, too, as again, I try to bolster my reinforcements here for people who question my level of patriotism or my love for the United States because I'm against our reckless, horrible foreign policy, and I don't care what president it's under. Smedley Butler, most decorated Marine in the 1930s, the most decorated military soldier of all time, I believe, at the time. He wrote an essay called War is a Racket, and it's something that everybody should read. This is, again, not some peacenik, not some long-haired hippie draft dodger sitting in his mom's basement typing off a screed. No, this was the most military, most decorated military officer of his time, who saw exactly who was actually benefiting from the wars that he was forced to go fight. Dwight Eisenhower, another one. I just read you a quote from him a little while ago saying, he has seen the battlefield and he thinks war should be rejected at all costs. I am not a long-haired hippie in my mom's basement, smoking weed and sitting around in a tie-dye t-shirt with a big peace symbol on the front of it. Although I would respect somebody who did that much more than the people that will send our kids halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand for the war profiteers and the people who actually benefit from the stuff. It's not you and me. We'll see if we get our Patriot pump prices when this comes down. I'm telling you, this is the deep state's move against Donald Trump. They're not going to get him with impeachment. They didn't get him with the ridiculous Russia story. They'll get him with this if they can convince him to keep going down this path, because Iran's not going to sit back and take this. They're not. I saw somebody comment on a story. He said, Iran's not going to do blank. Fact. That's what they typed in there. I disagree with that. It is going to be very, very difficult, unpalatable. We launched an attack and killed 25 people because one of our contractors had been killed, right? We killed 25 Iranians, and then we've just killed the general in charge of the Revolutionary Guard. We killed people, lashed out and attacked, because one contractor died. Do you think the country of Iran is going to allow one of their generals? And I'm not carrying water for Iran. Not a great place. Don't want to live there. Just unfortunately, it's none of our business. If you stop putting our kids, I've told you this over and over again. This is the term I use. What do you call 3,500 troops sent over to Saudi Arabia to guard their oil fields for them? Bait. What do you call 1,000 soldiers sitting in the deserts of Syria right now, confiscating, stealing? Not the troops themselves. I want to make sure people understand they're doing what they're told to do. It's our foreign policy establishment that ordered them to go in and secure the oil in Syria. What do you call 1,000 troops sitting in the sand of Syria guarding oil that belongs to the country of Syria? You call them bait. And the neocons are just waiting for somebody to go and try to take that oil back. It's Syrian oil. And again, I don't know how to do this except try to draw some parallels. What if China came in and headed out into West Texas and just took over some oil fields in West Texas and said, this is ours now? I would imagine there's people within the sound of my voice that would pick up a gun themselves and head to West Texas to get that oil back for the United States. Why do we think the Syrian people are any different? These neocons, these warmongers, are placing bait all throughout the Middle East, knowing that something is going to happen. And then they will use that. They'll use that event to convince you that we need to do the next escalation. And it's just high time that Americans saw through that and understood it. Don't be blinded by this faux patriotism of every war is America's war. And, you know, this politics ends at the water's edge, that kind of stuff. Well, when your cause is just, that's true. But when you're building an empire, and again, just as recently as 3 years ago, Trump supporters knew that these Middle Eastern wars were a disaster. Trump told us so, and we cheered for him at the rallies. And I believe he still thinks that. He's being hoodwinked. This is the deep state takedown of Donald Trump. You can watch impeachment all you want. I know it's real exciting and sexy, and you get to call out Maxine Waters and Adam Schiff and Nadler and Schumer and all them, these scumbags. That's the fun little thing. It's like watching a football game. Everybody gets on their team side and you cheer and you jeer and you boo and you hiss. But they're not doing anything with impeachment that's going to hurt Donald Trump. It's actually helping him. The deep state's making their move now. If they keep him going down this path with Iran, that's how they'll get rid of Donald Trump. Don't participate in it.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, it's Friday. I usually wrap up every Friday show because I don't do your typical, you know, bash Nancy Pelosi 5 days a week. It'd be easy to do. It's just a layup. It's done to death. I don't know. You got to distinguish yourself. I mean, you got to differentiate yourself somehow, whether it's the right way to differentiate myself or the wrong way. I don't know. I just call out the system itself. I don't really focus on the players, but the left does so many ridiculous things. I may play a couple of them that are kind of funny, but I'm just really not in the mood. This is a serious thing. I don't know what goes on this weekend, but I don't think this thing is over. Donald Trump made the comment, and I did it on the show yesterday, where he said, Iran doesn't want this war. It'd be very quick. And man, I hope he doesn't believe that. I hope they have not convinced him of that. That's been going around for a while. I can't remember who it was who said it would be a 2-week war. I think it was, might have been Tom Cotton. He's one of the biggest warmongers in Congress. I think it might have been Tom Cotton who said, yeah, it'd be a two-week thing. Do we believe that at this point? After 18 years in Afghanistan, after 15 years in Iraq, which is less powerful, after a decade of sanctions, far less powerful than Iran, do we believe that somehow we could dispatch with Iran? Do you know that Iran did joint military exercises with Russia and China last week? So when people talk about the possibility of World War III, they're not being hyperbolic. It's a very real possibility. Number here is 601-879-0002. I kind of wonder, I mean, I know there are people out there that disagree with me. I'd like to know why. What am I missing? You know, you look at, I came on air when Trump tore up the nuclear agreement with Iran. Might have been one of the first times that some people stopped listening to my show because I said, why? And I had some callers call up and tell me, you know, give me the reasons that they thought, you know, it was going to sunset, so it couldn't have been any good. Or, you know, there's the pallets of cash idea that people talk about. Pallets of cash was actually Iranian money that we had frozen. We gave it back to them. I don't want to have to rehash that again. But I just ask you this question. Are we better off now than we were when we had the nuclear agreement? We had 5 years to renegotiate it. It was still going. Iran had never been accused of breaching the agreement. Even if you think it was a terrible agreement, there was 5 years left on it. I guess there'd be about 3.5, 4 now to renegotiate going forward. Are we better off now than we were when we had the agreement? Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What you got?
Yeah. I was going to say, does it appear now that the impeachment is over since Trump is now warmongering? Has that stopped the impeachment? Will Nancy Pelosi not send the articles of impeachment to the Senate because a certain segment in America has gotten what they want?
Maybe so.
I mean, it looks to me like, see, there's a group after Trump, and that group is a group that wants continual war in the Middle East until every country there is gone, save for one.
Right.
And that one is Israel.
Right.
In my opinion, the big players against Trump, you know, are Jewish. They are. Schiff, Nadler, Schumer, and on and on and on.
Well, Sheldon Adelson.
And now Trump is, we're warmongering. I think this group wants a war with Iran. They believe the Americans can take out the Iranians, and they'll leave one country ultimately in the Middle East. I don't know what the plan is for Saudi Arabia. This is just it just looks like, okay, now we're going to fight Iran, and now the impeachment is over. The articles will never be delivered to the Senate. You think that's what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen.
You can't impeach a wartime president. Yeah, and these groups that are behind these wars, they are apolitical. They know that this Republican-Democrat theater that they put on for us is just for it's for the consumption of the masses. They don't care. They're so above either one of these parties. They're for raw power and whatever their geopolitical goals are for themselves. They don't care about this fighting back and forth. And I think you're right. I mean, I believe that, this is what will take down Donald Trump. It's just, I hate to see Trump supporters actually fall for it and support it.
Well, they're going to fall for it because they really have no alternative. Trump will be a wartime president. That will actually ensure his reelection.
I don't think so.
Not going to take Trump down. But Trump has been made to submit to the will of a super force, the one world people. He went to the United Nations and said, I'm a nationalist. This infuriated them. But they're finding ways to get their way. And you're right. Maybe this will be World War III. The Russians and the Chinese are with the Iranians.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what these maniacs want.
Yep.
But Trump was right when he went in. He said, why have we been at war for 18 years? There's no reason. Let's get out. Actually, it was 15 years in. He's been in 3 years. It's very frustrating. I mean, probably the only thing we can do about it is pray about it.
Yeah.
There's no reason involved in any of this.
No.
And it's not about our national interest.
No.
But someone else's interest. Thanks for listening to me. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
No,
okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would disagree with that is I think a war with Iran costs Donald Trump the presidency. I think it does. I will not vote for Donald Trump again if we are in full-fledged conflict or it looks like we're even at the brink of it. I've kind of thought that if he got reelected that sometime in 2021 that they'd get this thing hot. I think they've decided, no, if we do it now, he won't even be reelected. We don't have to deal with him. That's actually a compliment to Donald Trump. As much as people might think I'm just anti-Trump across the board, it's not. It's not the case. I think he's being tricked. I think they're trying to get rid of him because his instincts are to not do this, and so they're tricking him. I mean, we're going to see where this thing goes. These things flame up, and then they die down, and they flame up. But as I said to the caller earlier today, the goal is not to win a war. The goal is to keep the conflict going. The Japanese just sent, a couple of days ago, the Japanese have sent, a carrier group to the Persian Gulf. We are sending 20,000 fresh troops into the Middle East. Is that what you expected in 2016 when you voted? Is that what you wanted? A deeper entanglement in the Middle East? It doesn't seem to me that that was popular with Republicans. And here's the thing, too, I want to remind people about. You're going to hear Republican politicians come out and praise this move and talk about Iran and how we need to counter this threat and all that stuff. Of course, they ignore the fact that previous Republican foreign policy during the Bush administration is what created Iran's influence in the region to grow in the first place. They'll ignore all of that, and they'll just assume you're too stupid to know that, and they'll come out here. Does it matter to you at all, to that last caller's point, that Sheldon Adelson, who he can have at it. He is an Israel first guy. That's fine with me. That's absolutely fine. Anybody who's listening to me, some people listening to me might be Italian and their real love is of the motherland. God love you. But I don't think you get to control our foreign policy and our military. Does it matter to anybody that Sheldon Adelson, who wants this war with Iran, does it matter to you that he gave, I think it's now over $135 million to Donald Trump and Republican candidates over the past two election cycles? You think maybe he bought a little foreign policy influence with his hunt? He's the largest contributor to the Republican Party. So when these Republicans come out and tell you, try to convince you that this war with Iran is necessary, maybe in the back of your head you think, I wonder if they're saying that because they really believe it, or I wonder if they're saying that because one of their biggest, their very biggest donor wants this war with Iran. Not to mention whatever money they get from military contractors. And this is my disgust with the Republican Party, because I'll agree with you. Look, when you just look at the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, the theater part of it on its face, the Republicans look sane. They look like the adults. And the left and the Democrats look like petulant, ignorant children. As an aside, to bring a lighter note, you have got to see. If you haven't seen this thing, it's not good audio for the show. It was on a tweet the way I saw it. It was Democrats on an elevator. Have you seen this? Do an internet search for it. It is hilarious. It is fantastic. So I'll agree with you. When you look at the theater of it, when you look at the impeachment hearings, and I watched some of them. Don't know why, but I did. The Democrats look unhinged and insane and corrupt, and they're liars. And the Republicans look like they're making common sense. They're pointing, I mean, but Joe Biden did exactly what you're accusing Trump of. We know all these things. I'm with you on that stuff. But here's where I part with the Republican Party. And I am hearing over and over again, looking at this coverage and listening to the support for these strikes is along party lines. See, your Republican masters are going to come out and tell you this was a good thing. You're with us, aren't you? If you oppose this action, you must be with Nancy Pelosi. I know a lot of people who think that. I've gotten these comments when I've criticized Donald Trump on some of his policies, and people say, this is what they say. It's like talking to a fourth grader. They say, I guess you'd rather have Hillary Clinton as the president. No, that's why I voted for Donald Trump. But I want the guy that I voted for to show up and do the things that he campaigned on. And one of them is getting us out of the Middle East. If Hillary Clinton was sending 20,000 new troops to the Middle East and assassinating a general, an Iranian general during an impeachment trial, Republicans would be out in the aisles screaming, wag the dog. She's trying to create a diversion. Look at that. Her political life's in trouble. I don't think Donald Trump's doing that because I think the impeachment's helping him. I don't think he needs to do it. But the warmongers see his reelection. They see the bad candidates on the list. They can't get another one of their establishment Obama types that will prosecute the wars that they want. They don't see any of them on the left that can win right now. So they think they're panicking. They're saying, oh, my God, Trump's going to be reelected. We need to sabotage him now. And Mark Esper, the former Raytheon lobbyist, top lobbyist, who's our defense secretary, he's sabotaging Donald Trump. Mike Pompeo, the former CIA head, he's sabotaging Donald Trump right now. John Bolton, who was installed because of Sheldon Adelson, the largest contributor to the Republican Party. Doesn't anybody ever scratch their head and go, that's really weird that Trump would campaign against the Iraq War and then hire as his defense, as his national security advisor, the architect of that Iraq War? That's kind of a head scratcher, isn't it? Well, it isn't when you know the stories behind the stories I try to do on the show, and you find out that Sheldon Adelson, the largest contributor to Donald Trump and the Republican Party, wanted John Bolton to be national security advisor. Then it makes sense. Then you understand why that warmongering piece of human refuse was our defense secretary. It was our national security advisor. So the Republicans are going to spend all day. I've got my little 2 hours here. Sands of the hourglass are filtering through. I'm almost done. And you will get treated to 24 hours of Fox News. The whole weekend you'll have the Fox Sunday shows where they'll march general after general after general that will tell you this next war needs to happen. And they will forget to tell you that each one of these generals that you see on there sits on the board of directors of AM General, General Dynamics, United Technologies, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin. I've told you on this show, they won't tell you that on Fox as they parade through there telling you that this war, we have to agree, we got into a bit of a mess. We've been in Afghanistan for too long, but we can't leave. We've been in Iraq too long, but we can't leave. But this one, we just can't stand this Iranian situation. This is just too much. They're going to tell you that. You just won't know that they're actually lobbyists and they make money off of these wars. So my time's almost up. You make up your own mind at the end of this. But I tell you, if this thing keeps going the trajectory it's on right now, it will end in tears. And you may see the first, you may shed the first one at the pumps in just the next few days. I'll be right back. All night with the
king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, last few minutes. You know, I talk about the fact I know what would happen. If Joe Biden was going down this path, we'd be outraged. Hillary Clinton, outraged. Barack Obama, outraged. John McCain, probably outraged. Donald Trump, nope. You don't want to appear disloyal. What's funny to me is, let me prove to you how the partisanship plays here. Here's Donald Trump tweet in November of 2011. Barack Obama will attack Iran in the not-too-distant future because it will help him win the election. Here's 2012. Barack Obama will attack Iran in order to get reelected. 2012. Just as I predicted, Barack Obama is preparing a possible attack on Iran right before November. August 16th, 2012. Donald Trump. I always said Barack Obama will attack Iran in some form prior to the election. October 22nd, 2012. Don't let Obama play the Iran card in order to start a war in order to get elected. Be careful, Republicans. That's right. That was the Donald Trump I voted for right there. He was hip to that scene, man. I don't think Donald Trump's starting this war to get reelected. He doesn't need to. It's a cakewalk. Instead, what's happening, I think, is a much deeper plan by his advisors who do not like his rhetoric about getting out of the Middle East at all. They've stalled him from getting out of Syria. They've stopped him from getting out of Afghanistan. They've scuttled the talks with North Korea. The last thing they want to see is peace, and they think Donald Trump is a danger to their way of life, to their constant wars, and they're seeking to take him out. Again, I tell you, you should not participate in that ideologically. This is a plot to sabotage Donald Trump. God help all of our troops and keep them safe over the coming near future. I'll see you Monday. Bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.